Well, God morning to you. Welcome back to the God School. It's been too long since this congregation, as a congregation, has come to participate at this communion table. So today we're going to go to the table of the Lord, and we're going to do it with discernment, because the Apostle Paul tells us that taking these elements without discerning is of no effect. So we're going to do it with some discernment. This taking of the cup and the bread with discernment is an act of faith. The Hebrews letter tells us that without faith, it's impossible to please God, and therefore, before we go to the table, or as we go to the table, I want to talk about faith. In the Old Testament, there are two particular words. There's about seven different Hebrew words, but two in particular that are translated trust and belief. One of the words is betach. And it means, it's a picture, and it means to lean upon a staff with the hope and or expectation that your weight will be upheld by that staff. There's confidence involved. But it is an act of leaning upon the staff. There's a second word, hasa, and it means to run to the shelter of a mother bird's wings or the shelter of a rock with the expectation that running to those wings and under those wings, one will be protected. One will be sheltered. It will be a refuge. These words most often are translated trust or believe. Or belief, and then there's a third word, and it is an actual state of mind. Where in Genesis it says, King James translation, and Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. The literal Hebrew is, and Abraham amened God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. He had a state of mind that what God said, he, God, would do. I've been suffering a physical infirmity for quite some time, and I love the picture given by two of the doctors that are helping me through this infirmity. One's first name is Amin, and one's last name is Amin. This comes out of the Arabic, comes out of the Hebrew. In Hebrew, there are no vowels. This word that we pronounce amen, it's aleph, mem, nun. The aleph is not a vowel, it's a consonant. And we translate it amen. In the Arabic, it's amin. In other Semitic languages, it's aman. It's the most transliterated word in the world. And so the first doctor I asked, did he know what his name meant? And he said, trustworthy. I said, boy, that's close. And the second doctor I asked, did he know what his name meant? And he said, truth. I said, oh, that's getting close. But this state of mind regarding God's word is a state of no doubt. God is an amening God. When he speaks, he has no doubt what he says is true and is reality. Now, with this introduction, let's go, I think, to the most famous passage of the Old Testament. It is Isaiah 53, where Isaiah, 700 years before the fact, prophesies about Jesus. And he begins this chapter, opening King James translation. It says, who hath believed our report? So we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 words in this opening phrase, in this opening question. It is 3 words in the Hebrew. Mi hamin ishmutenu. And the literal translation is, who has amened our, or the hearing of us? Faith, folks, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. What's the report? And it says, to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed. We go on to the third verse, speaking, and this is speaking of Jesus Christ. It says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. The literal is, and he, as it were, hid his face from us. He was despised. And we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, like he was to blame. And afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we were healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him, that is Jesus, the iniquity of us all. Let's dig a little deeper into this translation. It says, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. This word, grief in the Hebrew is choli, and it means sickness, disease, infirmity. This word sorrows speaks to the pains thereof, of the sickness, disease, or infirmity. And it says of Jesus that he was acquainted with these. It further says that not only did he bear our sicknesses, diseases, and infirmities, and you can go to Matthew 8:17 to get the Greek, which is a much more specific language than the Hebrew, and it translates out of the Septuagint, he took upon himself our sicknesses and infirmities, and he healed all that were sick. It says, Jesus, was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace, the musar of our peace. This word musar means to do what is necessary to restore that which was lost. Jesus did for us that which we had lost. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Peace, shalom. I know the common use, it's hello, goodbye, peace be with you, blah, blah, blah. Shalom. It has to do with wholeness and wellness and well-being. And the conclusion of what Jesus did for us, that which we had lost, says, and with his stripes we are healed. We're talking here of the atonement, that which Christ, Jesus Christ, has done for us. It goes on, it says, the literal is, and he has borne, he has taken upon himself and carried away our sicknesses, diseases, and infirmities, and the pains thereof, that he paid the price for our wholeness and wellness, and that with his stripes we were healed, and that the Lord laid on him the iniquities of us all. You want to know a good definition of sin? All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord laid on Jesus the iniquities of us all. Now, coming back to the beginning, it doesn't say who believed who, just says, oh yeah, Jesus did that. No, who has amend the hearing of us? Who has that state of mind of what is reported of Jesus? As I said, this participating in the table of the Lord is an act of faith. It's not ritual, it's not ceremony, it's not mystical, it's not magical. These elements are but symbols. Now, there are many ways that God heals. You know, we read about those that tore off the rooftop when Jesus, because of the crowd, couldn't get their friend in. And it's reported that when he saw their faith, he healed that man. It says, any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil, and they shall be healed. There are several ways. But here at this table, in looking at what Jesus did at the atonement, it is personal, it is a state of mind, I want to share, as I was going through this study, a passage. You know by now, after all these years, those of you who have may have for the first time just been listening, I'm a Bible teacher. I teach from the whole book. I teach from including those books called the Apocrypha, which were part and parcel of the scriptures from which Jesus read, and part and parcel of every Bible, virtually, up until about 1885, when the goddamn British and foreign Bible societies decided to take these books out and make lies up about them. But let me give you just a little insight into our relationship with God. It's found, excuse me, in the 7th chapter of the 2nd book of Esdras, simply the Greek name for Ezra, the one who compiled all the Old Testament upon the return of the Jews from captivity in Babylon. It says in the 2nd verse, "And he said unto me, Up, Esdras, and hear the words that I am come to tell thee. And I said, Speak on, my God. Then he said unto me, The sea is set in a wide place, that it might be deep and great. But put the case, the entrance were narrow and like a river. Who then could go in to the sea to look upon it and to rule it if he went not through the narrow? How could he come into the broad? There is also another thing. A city is builded and is set upon a broad field and is full of good things, and the entrance thereof is narrow and is set in a dangerous place to fall, like as if there were a fire on the right hand and on the left deep water, and one only path between them both, even between the fire and the water, so small that there could but one man go through there at once." This table of the Lord, though we may gather in a group, small or large, is individual. And Isaiah says, "Who has amend our report?" I just, one other thing before we partake of the elements, so that we do it with discernment. A passage in Isaiah 65, the 16th verse. Let's read it. It says, "That he who blessed himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth." The literal is the God of the Amener. So in the study I've been doing, I went to the Septuagint translation, and the Hebrew says, the God of Amen. In the Septuagint translation, it says, the God of Alethanos. Alethanos. We have oft times said as properly translated, Jesus in the 17th chapter of John says, thy word is truth, aletheia. This is alethanos. And I found it really interesting. I just want to give you some definition of this word, alethanos. It says, that which has not only the name and resemblance, but the real nature corresponding to the name, in every respect corresponding to the idea signified by the name. Real, true, genuine. Opposite to what is fictitious, counterfeit, imaginary, simulated, or pretended. It contrasts realities with the semblances. I've got an infirmity. That's a semblance. The God of truth says that Jesus bore my infirmity, carried the pains thereof away, and with his stripes I was healed. Join me as we take this broken bread, symbol of what Jesus said was of his body, which was broken for us, that we might be healed. Now, faith comes by hearing, and you've heard the report. Will you, with me, in an amen state of mind, say with me, looking through this bread, unto Jesus, the reality of what he has done, and say, with, as Peter said, with his stripes, we were healed. Take it in Jesus. Amen. And this cup, symbol of the blood, the life of the soul, Leviticus tells us, is in the blood. The blood symbolizes the life of Jesus Christ, Son of God, the perfect man, paid the price. He gave his life. The full price paid for our redemption was paid by Jesus. And it says, that the blood of the Lamb, the life of the Lamb, cleanses us from all our sins. Can you say amen? I don't care how many sins you might have committed. I don't care what sins you commit today. I don't care what may come tomorrow. All our iniquity were laid upon him. Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. thank you, and we be the beneficiaries of that which Jesus has done. Take it in an amen state of mind in Jesus' name.